And I invite you to look on the screen or open your Bibles. And if you didn't bring your own copy of the scriptures, you can probably find one right in front of you there if you prefer to look at a hard copy of the Bible as we read. Today's scripture, John 15, verses 1 through 8. And yes, it sounds a lot like last week's scripture, but there's so much here. We need to take 2 weeks to really unpack John 15 and these first verses. I'm reading today verses 1 through 8. This is the word of Jesus. He says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like branches and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Surprises. Do you like them? Some people love surprises and some people don't like them that much. When Jesus talks about fruit here, there are some surprising truths you might miss. And one surprise for some believers is this. Jesus says that you will have big impact on others in the world. Today, we're going to consider this surprising truth and other surprising truths that are connecting to it. There's the metaphor. You heard it in the scripture reading. If you were here with us last week, you remember this. Jesus is the vine in this extended metaphor. Believers, those who trust in him, are branches. And branches that are connected to the vine bear much fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That's John 15, 5. Today we're going to consider the frequency of words like much and more and other words that have that idea of sort of abundance and expansion. I've counted at least five of them. You may be able to find a few others if you kind of look at the implications in certain of the words in this short section. It's not just fruit. It's much fruit, more fruit, great fruit. Think of that. And I'm talking here about us, about believers in Jesus Christ like us. I'm talking about you, wherever you're at in your journey. As you trust in Jesus, it's not just fruit, a little bit of it. I'll get by in life. Thank you. I'll make it to the end. No, impact. And sadly, a lot of times when people think of fruit, they think of it primarily in terms of their own personal security and happiness. A little bit more joy, a little bit more peace as I hang on through life, and maybe a few other people close to me get the blessing of that. And that, as you read John 14 through 16, that's clearly not at all what Jesus has in mind. He has in mind something that you and I as believers and us as a community of believers, individually and collectively, are making an impact in this broken world. In our family, our neighborhood, our workstation, the folks we're around at school, in our town, in our region, in our state, and all the things that are going on around us here in our nation and the things that we're concerned about in the countries around this earth and all the brokenness that we see, all the things we say, that's not the way it ought to be. So when we think of bearing fruit, Jesus has in mind something that impacts all those things. And an individual way he uses us as believers as a part of that impact. Jesus wants us to have much fruit, which includes his joy in us in a way that impacts others, community, and world, even when things are hard in life. Now, a lot of times we think, hey, it's hard right now. Well, this is kind of my, you know, the fruit thing's done because I got to get through the hard thing. When actually what Jesus is talking about, fruit that's being produced in the very hard things. We're going to see that today. These things I have spoken to you, Jesus said, about fruit and abiding in me and the connection you have with me helping to produce fruit. I have spoken to this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. That word full is another example of the much, the abundance here. And it's not a self-centered kind of, let's take care of me kind of joy. It's a Jesus-honoring fullness in the impact of him using you kind of joy. This is Jesus' very purpose for us. So backing up again just to say, okay, what's the whole thing about fruit here in John 15? Well, it's the purpose of your life. It's the very reason, if you know Jesus by personal faith, that he's chosen you. And of course, there's a lot of other things in life, and Jesus has strength and resources for you for your daily needs or whatever. I'm not discounting that, the things that we need Jesus' help for in our own lives. But it's very clear to me, with verses like John 15:16a, that you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. So this all is spoken by Jesus, John 13, 14, 15, 16, and the prayer in John 17, on one amazing night. If you remember, that is the night of Passover, where Jesus shares the meal with his disciples. He gives them the love command. He helps them in the midst of the overwhelming uncertainties that he tells them he is going away. And one of those things he says to those disciples to reassure them, yes, but not just again to get by, but for the impact he has in mind through them, he says, I am the vine. I am the vine, and that's what we're talking about. And we did so last week as well. Bearing fruit by your connection to Jesus, we considered last week. And picture yourself, if you believe in Jesus, as one of those branches connected to the vine. And Jesus says, as you continue to believe in me and persevere in that believing, you're going to bear fruit. And not just a couple little ones now. It's a lot of fruit. Yes, we have brokenness, weakness, needs, all that, right? But Jesus' intention is to build us, grow us, as we continue to connect to him in producing much fruit. We talked about that last week. Much fruit bearing as we persevere. Whoever abides in me, and the idea of abiding is to believe, yes, it's continue to believe, yes, it's to continue to believe and daily rely upon and trust in him. That's that branch saying, I am in the vine. And so the life of Jesus flows in us. And in receiving that life again and again, we produce fruit. If any of you attempted to get some fruit production from your backyard, a tree or whatever, or maybe vegetable if we go with this analogy, right? Man, there's a lot of things that can go wrong, aren't there? Like, why is it not like, is it pollination issues? Is it fertilizer issues? Is it more water needed, less water needed, planted in the wrong soil? Is it bugs? Is it disease, right? You can go on and on. It's like, and I picture what Jesus is saying to us here today is sort of just being like all purpose, everything you need so that it takes care of all that. And not just a little fruit, but much fruit as we continue to abide in him. The command here is that continuing reliance on Jesus and trusting in him. So let's look at the surprising truths. Three of them today for the sort of all-purpose Jesus provided, making that fruitfulness happen in us and through us. And the first is pruning. That may, like me, the most surprising here on this list. Wait a second. So you're saying things that I don't like are actually a part of God producing in me more fruit? Yes, I am. I'm saying that. This passage is saying that. Scripture throughout Scripture is saying that. And we're going to have to walk through that because that one surprises us and it sort of goes totally against the grain of a Western mindset, or certainly against the grain of cultural Christianity that isn't aligned with the Scripture. So we gotta understand pruning and the surprising truth that pruning is an element in us being substantially fruitful. And then we're going to see the next two. You say, Pastor Bruce, Steve, pop back if you don't mind. Stick with those. Yeah, the other two, prayer and the powerful word. Now, I could have just said the word, but I had to get the alliteration, so we did powerful word. But it is true that the word is powerful. We'll talk more about that. And you may say to me, Pastor Bruce, I've been hearing since I first became a Christian about the importance of prayer and the Bible in my Christian life. Right? I mean, who hasn't heard that? Who hasn't heard that 1,000 times? But I'm telling you today, maybe in a little different way. It's not just that you should do this, which is true. It's that if you want to be fruitful, you want to bear much fruit, this is what you're going to do. Not just a little bit of prayer, token one here and there, not just a little bit of the Bible, I guess I better. But to put down rich roots into a meaningful life of prayer and to a meaningful engagement with the Word of God and to it meaningfully impact us here and shape our prayers, that's where much fruit happens. So Jesus is telling us, as bearing fruit believers, because if you don't bear any fruit at all, you don't have the connection to the vine. But he's telling us not only that there is some fruit, but how it is that we bear much fruit and more fruit through these surprising truths. Let's do a quick review, if you don't mind. This is kind of short summary in a way of last week, but more importantly, I feel it's important we define fruitfulness. We define what fruit is. What is fruit? What kind of fruit are we talking about? And I've argued from this text in its context and the totality of all that's included for a broad understanding of fruit bearing. Fruit includes all in a believer's life that is aligned with God's purposes, all that glorifies God in our life and glorifies God in our witness. It's all fruit. It's not just character growth. That's one part of fruit. But it's all your life, witness, all that glorifies God, all love for others, even those that are difficult to love, all joy in the Lord, even in difficult circumstances, all obedience, all evangelism, all service, sacrifice, giving, all of that is a part of fruit. And so we unpacked last week that that's what's meant. Today we're looking at how it is that that can be more and much. And if you want more and much, then here are three surprising truths for this to be coming from your life and from us as a community of believers. The first is pruning. Jesus' first point, as he's working through this extended metaphor, I take it means those things in a believer's life that we don't like. Those things in a believer's life that we don't like. Now, none of us wants to sign up for things we don't like. And yet, as Jesus references pruning here, this is part of what he means. He means that God is working. God the Father is working in the uncomfortable, difficult times that you experience. Now, these may be for some the very moment that awakens them the truth that there's something more to life than what they were living for before, and the answer is a personal relationship with Jesus. But in the context of this extended metaphor, Jesus speaking to believers and saying, hey, you're going to experience things you don't like, and those things, handled the right way, actually are going to enhance your fruitfulness. God the Father was working in that way. Let's just look at the text and see it. The Father has been introduced into the metaphor. He's the vine dresser or the gardener. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And then this work of the Father fosters much here in this analogy, and the first relates to branches that do not bear fruit, which are people like Judas who've been around, but there's no fruit, and they don't really know the Lord, and the Father is working to remove them from the garden there, John 15:2. But John 15:2 verse B is where we want to look. The Father's pruning. The Father's pruning fosters more fruit. Every branch in me that does bear fruit, that's Christians, people, that there's some fruitfulness, he's pruning so it bears more fruit. This trimming down of the branches is analogous to the trimming work of God in the life of a believer, things we don't find easy. I see a lot of similarities to Hebrews 12:6. We'll talk about that in a minute. But let's just think about pruning and what it is. Anybody ever seen a vine or a tree that got a serious pruning job? You feel a little bit embarrassed for the tree or the vine, right? It's like, oh man, the barber got carried away. I mean, it's like, whoa, that was one I anticipated, right? And yet, as much as that kind of feels like, man, are you sure they were needing to take that much off? I guess those that do this know that actually that produces more fruit. And of course, God, the Father, is doing something like that in us in the midst of these things that are going on in our life. And, you know, I just sort of grab some random things here. I'm not saying this is the be-all answer of suffering and difficulties. There's a whole lot of other aspects of when we go through hard times, and sometimes it relates to sin, and sometimes it relates not at all to sin, and you know, Jesus suffered and Paul suffered. So there's a lot that we could say, but I want to just focus on this thing of pruning. And I just wonder, like, hey, if you've got a difficult relationship that showed up in your life right now, could it be pruning? If you just bought a vehicle and you said, man, what a lemon, I can't believe it. Why didn't we look, it's like, I thought we did the research. Maybe it's pruning, I don't know, right? If you're taking flack for your faith somewhere, somehow, could it be pruning? If you're going through other kinds of struggles, one thing to consider is the possibility, yes, I'm not excusing anybody that's doing wrong, I'm just saying, could it be God's doing some pruning in our lives through these things? So if you flip over to Hebrews chapter 12, there's this idea of discipline. And I see pruning as analogous to discipline. Now, discipline sometimes could mean you're doing wrong, and pruning doesn't necessarily mean you've done wrong. But one thing that pruning and discipline surely have in common is that they aren't fun. No one likes it. And yet, I would submit to you that our outlook or attitude is the key. You can go through hard times and not grow a bit, but you can go through hard times and grow a lot. And I mean, what's the difference? Well, the Lord disciplines the one he loves, Hebrews 12 says, and later this, and just like pruning, yields fruit, right? But if you look at Hebrews 12, it gives us some cues into like this attitude. Pruning is not just that God does it. Pruning is receiving what God is doing. Pruning is regarding his work and embracing that, no, it's not that God's bad here, or he's no longer good or faithful, whatever. Like, could it be God is doing something to advance his work in us? So we submit to him. We're trained by and in these difficult times. Lord, help us not to make light of your fruit-producing pruning. Help us to submit to you in these times of difficulty. Help us to be trained by you in this for your work, and that perhaps the greater fruit that we desire and the impact we hope for from beyond our lives might be advanced by these times. You know, there's a shallow, superficial, unbiblical version of Christianity that says God's job is to make my life easy, and if God doesn't make my life easy, God's not doing his job. And that clearly doesn't align with the scriptures. Jesus said, hey, in the world you're going to have trouble, but I've overcome the world. There's something we experience even in the midst of these times that Jesus is pointing us to here. You know, recently I ran across an article about a wonderful ministry for first responders happening in another part of the country. And in this article about this ministry, they made this the statement, like, okay, that's true for everybody. They said, no one ever calls on a bad day. I mean, rather on a good day. They only call on a bad day, right? It's like, no one ever calls out to God for help. Like, God, thank you, I need help here because everything's going really good, right? No, you call out to God and you reach out to friends and you reach out to ministry like the first responders that are offering hope and Christ-centered ministry to those people on the front lines. You call out when things are not good. And God then works in that to propel, foster things that are good in you, through you, for his purposes. Consider pruning as one of those surprising truths here that may lead us to more of a John 15:8. That is a glorification of God. That is more of proving that we're his disciples as he moves us from some fruit to much fruit. And that way my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Let's talk about something maybe we've probably been more accustomed to hearing about. Hey, this is a part of a fruitful Christian life. But I want us to see some of the words Jesus uses with respect to prayer. Prayer is a way believers grow. Yes, prayer is a way you grow in impact. Not just getting through your life, but being a blessing to others and pointing them to Christ from your life. Prayer is one way you move from a little to much. And of course, there's more to prayer than asking. Jesus said prayer is a way we move ahead. There's more to prayer than asking, but God fosters much fruit bearing through prayer. Let's look at John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now we need to take note of the if clause before the ask whatever you wish and it will be done. There's a lot there in the if you abide in me and my words abide in you. That's coming up next. But let's just consider the importance of asking. What are you asking for? Are you just asking to get by? Are you asking for impact? Are you asking with respect to the brokenness of people, the world, those around you, those that need Jesus? Have you gone from just sort of prayer and your little life or prayer and impact life? Fruit-bearing prayer. Jesus clearly does not have the just you and your little life kind of praying in mind here, because the whole context is fruit that lasts and glorifies the Father and makes an impact on the brokenness of this world. Jesus is elaborating on prayer down here in verse 16, which tells us that this fruit bearing is definitely including everything he's saying between verse 8 and verse 16, which is next week, and it's all about the fruit of love in our relationships and Christ honoring definition of it. But let's look at verse 16 so we rightly understand this and rightly pray. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and your fruit should abide. You've seen this already, related to mission, related to purpose, related to impact. And then it says in John 15, verse 16b, this fruit aligns with praying in Jesus' name, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Whatever follows his commands, whatever, including his love for other believers, verse 17, whatever aligns with his person and purposes, this is praying in his name. Fruit is that the whatever you wish, verse 7, is praying in alignment with the person and purposes of Jesus. Taking that whatever you wish from that your person and your purposes and making it about whatever you wish is Jesus' person and purposes. This is biblical prayer. This is the kind of prayer that results in much fruit. We live in times, writes Bob Pardon, who's a partner ministry we support, that explicitly and implicitly diminish the primacy of prayer. And this is not just non-Christians. This is many people who would claim to be believers. We kind of say, well, prayer is just kind of like, yeah, whatever. And we even have theologies out there that sort of say, well, it doesn't matter if I pray. And of course, that's totally unbiblical. So when we have a problem, we don't typically think to pray. And yet as we look to church history, we see that, and I quote, "It is the prayer of God's people that has had an unexplainable and astonishing impact," writes Bob, "upon nations, culture, societies, evangelism, and massive revivals and more." And then there's just the ordinary Christian privately, quietly, fervently, devotedly praying. Think of that. How much impact just by praying for relationships and family members and salvations and the hurting and churches and ministry and expansion in the world. Just by praying. And yet, we live in times that explicitly and implicitly diminish the primacy of prayer. So I want to encourage us. I want to encourage us to kind of take this challenge to say, hey, prayer is a part of the reality of receiving the life-giving life of Jesus in me so that there is much fruit resulting from me. And not just going to, oh, Pastor Bruce, that was it. Yeah, we heard prayer again. No, how are we doing with prayer? Where does it fit in our lives? How is it emphasized as a priority in our community of believers? Let's ask God for strength in that and do it, as Eric started this service by reminding us. And then the powerful word. Now, we've already sort of bookmarked that the word has an important place, not just in the truths that we understand, but the very way that we pray. And this connection of the word and prayer is what Jesus moves into as he connects this fruit, he connects this impact, he connects this much fruit from our lives through us to the depth of his word in our lives. Let's pause there for a minute. The impact and fruit from our life or from a community of believers is directly proportional to the depth of the word in our lives or in a community of believers. Let's take his word in. Let's take his word in now. Let's take his word in daily. Let's take his word in regularly. Let's take his word in deeply. Let's take his word in not in a shallow surface way that's just kind of taking little highlight reel things to kind of reinforce what we want, but take his word in deep, meaningful ways that we align with it and his kingdom work. Part of right praying, right asking, is praying words as Jesus' word abides in our life. As Jesus' word, that is the truth of Jesus, his person, his purposes, the Bible, shape our prayer. So you're ready for your prayers to be shaped. If you're going down that track, this is the way for there to be much fruit. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And of course, that it, whatever you wish is being shaped by the truth of Jesus, his words. So our asking is flowing from that, not flowing from a fleshly, selfish kind of motivation. This, the truth about the power and working of the words of Jesus, God's word, is one of the theological themes of the Gospel of John. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, it kind of connects us to a whole lot of verses, 3:34, 5:24, 6:63, 8:31, 8:37, 8:57, 12:47, 14:23. I could keep going. There's at least a dozen different times in the Gospel of John where in one way or another, Jesus is referencing the power and working of the word in accomplishing that which is spiritually good. The word is essential for beginning the Christian life. We know this, right? John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Has eternal life. But only if you hear his word and believe his word. And as Jesus addresses the 11 here, as Judas has departed, the one who had not truly believed the word, Jesus already said right here in this very metaphor that they are already made clean by the word. Already you are clean, John 15:3. Because of the word that I have spoken to you. They had heard the word and received the word, therefore are clean already because of the word. And this, of course, is true for anyone who has truly heard and received the word of Jesus. But notice, too, the word is essential in all the aspects of life and growth and fruitfulness, connection to Jesus, the way that we pray rightly after we become a believer. Consider with me John 6:63. The Spirit, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no help at all. It's not you or the schemes that you come up with, the plans that you follow. It is always the working of the Spirit. And how does the Spirit work? The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. The way the Spirit works, not only in the beginning of the Christian life, but in the sustaining of the Christian life, the fruit-bearing of the Christian life, every aspect of healthy Christian living that bears fruit is by and through the receiving of the Word. And Jesus says, let my Word abide in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. That word abide here is kind of shifted to like at home. It's not that the Word is out there on the front porch. And you're sort of, hey, keep out there the word. Yeah, I'm at home here, but you're not in my home, right? Or it's not that the word is sort of at the living room. No, the word is thoroughly at home in you, in the bedrooms and the closets, in the attic storage spaces of your life. You're allowing the word to be at home in you and taking the word again and again and again in as Jesus grows you and his life-giving sap spreads into your life for fruitfulness. We could say more about this, but I'd like us just to consider, did a little bit of meditating on how the word abiding deeply in us fosters greater fruitfulness for God from us, and in particular how it shapes our prayers. And I could give you a scripture for every one of these. I have these written in my notes if you really want them. But one is that as we're in the Word, what happens? We realize what's sin, and we confess it. And sin so often stifles all fruitfulness, right? But the Word helps us to deal with and confess those things that get in the way of it. Secondly, we're purified. As we take in the Word, we see what His work really is. We see what God's really wanting to do. He grows us, shapes us, and we go from this place of selfishness, and it's about me praying, to about, no, I want to make an impact on others. The Word does that work in us. And then we grow in faith. Oftentimes, we're not being used by God because we're so beat down and don't believe God can use us, and we're like, oh, I can't do anything. But as we're in the Word, no, the Word builds our faith, and we say, God, you can use me. You can do mighty things. And then we grow in our trust for him, that we can be used in his work, that he has good plans for us. We've been created in Christ Jesus for good works. And as we hold on to the word, Philippians 2:16, we shine like lights in a dark world. Now, if we don't hold on to the word, we won't shine like lights in a dark world. We'll just sort of be out there in the dark world. And then we know his desires, his plans, his will for us. Your kingdom come, your will be done. As we're in the word, we know that is that which it is that pleases him, that advances his work, that glorifies his name. And we embrace that, and the word shapes that, and we express that, and then we live and walk more and more in that. We believe God has power. When you're in the word, you go, it is true that God is able to do exceedingly beyond all that we ask or even imagine according to his work, that is work within us. But we're not in the word, we doubt it. You say, oh, this is hopeless. Nothing can happen here. But the word fuels that sense of confidence in his power. And then we walk in the victory we have over Satan. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. 1 John writes, you have overcome the evil one by his word abiding in you. It is only as the word abides in you that we walk in the victory that we have. So all these and more, I probably just scratched the surface of the way the word abiding more deeply in us fosters greater fruitfulness for God from us. We need the word. Be constantly in it, not just studying, reading, hearing, but taking it in as we study, hear, read. Allowing these things to happen in us, to shape our lives and our prayers for greater fruit. You know, with all the things going on around in the world, Christians can easily slide into step-by-step compromised or calloused anger. And yet Jesus envisioned something different. That is bearing much fruit. So pruning, prayer, and the powerful word shape that. How do we respond today? If you haven't yet believed in Jesus, today is a chance. Now is a time to turn to him or to turn to someone who can help us in dealing with those issues and questions we have in that process. Jesus' words here in the context of John's purpose for his very gospel, which is a call to believe in him. Over 90 times this verb is used in the Gospel of John. Believe in Jesus. But these things are written so that you may believe, John 20, verse 31, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Believing is a turning to know and follow Jesus as Savior and God. And then let's consider those of us who have believed. I'd like to ask each of us before we leave here today and our closing song to consider some ways you can impact others in a much and greater and more way as you abide in Jesus. Where is that, as we've spoken today about impact and people and hurts and brokenness in the world and the community and the nation, where's something you're like, nope, that one's got my name on it. That's me. That's me praying, me growing, me acting, me stepping out, me embracing the pruning work. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for this opportunity to hear from you some surprising truths, and yet, Lord, truths that we need, truths that are part of your name being glorified, truths that help us to live out the mission, Lord, not just to get by, but to be used by you in kingdom fruit-bearing that glorifies the Father and makes an impact on our community, our nation, our world, the needs and the advance of the gospel in it. Lord, we trust you. We call out to you, Lord, for shaping and molding us. We help you pray that you will grow us in times of struggle. Help us to align with your work in that. Lord, may you build us up in being people of prayer, calling out to you, God, for those things which glorify your name. God, grow us in taking your word in, letting it shape us, so that we may bear much fruit. We thank you, Jesus, and we pray this in your name. Amen.